two queer women connect on a dating app, start a podcast, fall in love, and take off on a mind-blowing adventure. Where they end, no one knows. With a half-assed plan and a whole lot of love, what could go wrong? Especially when it feels so right. Welcome to No One Wants My Cookies, Season 2.
Fans, welcome to another fabulous episode of No One Wants My Cookies.
Hey,
I'm girl. One of your hosts, Tanya.
Oh, you are. Hey, yeah. Tanya.
Yeah.
It's so weird because I don't ever call you by your first name. I always just call you babe.
Yeah.
So when I actually say, hey, Tanya, it like sounds like you're in trouble or something.
Yeah. Like, hey, Brooke.
That's weird.
Yeah. Sometimes I actually have to think about what your name is because,
oh my God,
it's babe.
Wait, is do for real? Sometimes forget my name. Sometimes definitely misspelled my last name once. And I was like,
just so you know, babe, this is how you spell my name.
It was like, that was one of those like, shit, are we moving too fast? She doesn't even know how to spell my name when she's like setting up my office in her house. Anyway.
Yeah, for the second date. But we are, we are for sure Brooke and Tanya. And this is No One Wants My Cookies.
Yeah.
We have a awesome guest today that's been one of my friends for a long time. I think 2008.
Holy shit, that is a long time.
Maybe we'll ask her. Meet my friend Carly.
Hey Carly.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. I'm actually just so excited to talk to you because we've actually already chatted on the social meds. I feel like we're friends, but I actually don't know all that much about you, so I'm excited to learn everything that is Carly.
Everything. Let's start though with, when did we meet? Was I close? Was it 2008?
I'm horrible with that, but I think, 2007, 2008, right around there.
Somewhere in Hillsboro. And I do remember that we started working out together in 2008. So we might have met in
2007.
Workout buddies, and we were super competitive with each other. And Carly does not back down. Like, I kind of feel bad for your wife sometimes because I'm like, I feel like if there's going to be an argument, you're going to win it. Is that true or am I off base?
Oh, I might resemble that a little bit. she would agree with you.
Yeah, we played basketball once, and basketball is obviously my sport.
Mm-hmm.
And Carly's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you will. And she played until she beat me. Like, she was not going to leave that court. Do you remember that, Carly?
I went into beast mode.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do anything. I think I have a little bit of that in me, too. I'm like, oh, you're going to teach me how to play basketball? And then I try to like one up her every time.
But she hasn't beaten me yet.
Okay.
Just a little healthy competition, you know.
She just like rolled her eyes so bad. You silly. I don't think so.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to get in a fight. That's going to be awkward. Yeah, so we've known each other a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, like how you have like your drinking friends and your coffee friends and your shopping friends. Carly is just a good friend.
Yeah, you guys like talk all the time.
We talk several times a week. She's like the supportive friend. Like, I haven't seen you in forever, Carly. Like, when's the last time we hung out?
It's probably been like the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So Carly's from Clatsop County. So we knew, I mean, like before we met, we already had like several acquaintances.
We knew of each other. And then I met you, I met you right when you were moving back to Portland area from, I don't remember if you were in Southern Bend. Oregon.
Bend, from Bend. Yeah, no, I'm really grateful for our friendship because it's very easy.
I think we kind of know each other well enough to understand each other that we can be real with each other, and like even if we get on each other's nerves or have like a big gap of time that we don't talk, it's one of the, like, we just fall right back into where we, you know, like you can just pick up where you left off.
You guys have been talking quite a bit recently too, because Tanya, you know, has been looking for a job, which I don't know if we've even told our listeners that new job over here.
I got a new job. I start in January. I think we did. I think we mentioned it.
Did we? Because of the big, I've splashed it all over social media. Today, Tanya was like, I'm a little nervous because you told every single person that I got
it. Well, they're like doing this thing, like really intense background check and like credit check. And I'm like, gosh, why do they want to look at my credit? Like, what are they looking for? And, you know, I've grown up a lot in the last couple of years, but before that it was a little bit of a rocky road, let's just say, my credit. So I don't want to like put the cart before the horse or whatever. Did I say that right?
But I did it for
you. And Brooke's like, we're going out tonight. We went out to dinner for two nights in a row. And then she posted all over social media. But Carly's been with me at, like, almost every day for the last several months of, I have an interview. I applied for 10 jobs. And then Carly's also, I'm not totally switching careers. I hired substitute teachers before and placed them in school. So it was kind of like, I kind of had like this HRE background kind of thing as far as like doing a lot of like I-9s and that sort of stuff. But I'm switching to become a recruiter.
Yeah.
And it was kind of challenging. And Carly has been in the health profession for how long, Carly?
Like 12 years, I want to say. 11. Yeah, 12 years.
And just decided like over it and is now getting into marketing, which is what Brooke does. You know, we're midlife almost kind. Yeah. You know, switching careers.
I would say so.
Jobs. And it's funny because Carly and I both haven't like really done this. We were talking about this yesterday, is like how much your like social media like platform really matter, like your LinkedIn and stuff, like how that
it's not
really
just about having a resume these days. It's like you have to be like have all the things, and it's annoying.
It's really intense, like the how competitive it is. And it's so, searching for a job now compared to, you know, like I was with the same company for 12 years. And so, yeah, it's just really intense. And you have to think about, so like networking is, I mean, networking's always been obviously valuable and important, but I mean, it's like, you have to network now. You have to be like, your social media presence has to be on point. And just, yeah, it's kind of overwhelming. I have to remind myself that everyone's in the same boat, because I'm like just feeling like, how am I ever gonna find a job?
And I've had friends like that too, like other friends who are in their late 30s, you know, early 40s or whatever, and they're like wanting to make a career change. I have a friend who was bartender for like years and years and years, went to school for marketing as well, and was just like, this is so hard to find a job. Because you also, and I was talking to Tanya about this the other day, the whole like, now I've convinced these people that I'm good enough for this job, like sort of that, like you start having doubts in yourself too. Like, do I have the skills for these jobs that are out there? And it's just like, man, it can beat on you. Yeah. Imposter syndrome. Exactly. It's like, that's a real.
Yeah. Like once I got that offer letter, I was like, are they sure they did this? Like, because they offered me like a lot more money than I was expecting to. So I was like, is there like me? Like, and it's been hard to be like, yeah, me, like I can do this. But Brooke shares a lot on LinkedIn. So what's the secret? Like, what's the secret to your soul? And you have a lot of connections too. Do you just connect with everybody on your LinkedIn?
Honestly, I think my LinkedIn presence is not that great. I went through and like edited my LinkedIn profile, like all my, you know, history, my job history and stuff. And then I put like key projects I'd worked on and stuff. But actually at my work, I have a place I can go log in and they tell me what I could post on my social media. And so all I have to do is like post. They do all of the posts for me because I'm just reposting like industry news.
Oh, so you're just like, I don't even have to post for myself.
Pretty much.
Well, never mind, Carly. I thought Brooke might be
But I do think updating your LinkedIn is super good. Like, I pick which social media platforms are my business and which are my personal. So like Instagram and Facebook are like personal posts only, but Twitter and LinkedIn obviously are just my like business stuff. So like, I don't, that's where people can go and see like where I've posted, you know, industry stuff, but I don't think I'm, yeah, the best person to ask about that.
Well, Carly was saying that for her job might have to put together a portfolio, right, Carly?
Oh,
well, it just, a lot of the job postings in the marketing realm are like, you know, bonus if you have a portfolio that you can provide. But it's, marketing is such a broad umbrella term, you know, like there's so many specialized areas. And I'm like 3/4 of the way done with my program, or maybe a little more. So I need to kind of decide what area I'm going to really focus on so that I can beef up my, you know, try to make up for lack of experience, maybe with some certifications, or even do, do like some free work for some friends, or get an internship or something, just to, you know, make myself competitive. 'Cause these job postings that, or even internships that say entry level, and then you read what they're looking for, and it, like, the description is someone with like 2 to 5 years of experience. Like, I'm like, how is this entry level?
Yeah.
So
how are you supposed to get experience? I mean, I have to say, watching Tanya go through the whole process of finding a job and stuff, like, candidly, it's bullshit. Like, how are you supposed to actually get into a new career if A, you don't know somebody that can help you get into that career, and B, get experience, especially as an adult? Like, Carly, like, you have a family, like, you're not exactly like, yeah, I have all the spare time to go out and do free work, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, see you guys in 3 months. I'm going to go do this, like, you know, internship where I just work full time for free, and I'll, you know, you guys pay the bills and figure it out.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah. It's bananas. And yeah. And like, interviewing, you're like, oh, let's do 55 interviews. And then, oh, sorry, nope, we're not going to give you the job. It's just, oh man, it has just hit your ego.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, it's frustrating because like, I had like this interview and this lady was like, oh, can you do, I mean, like, asked me like all these questions. And then she was like, all right, so Monday and Tuesday, you're going to go to the office and meet my coworker, gave me his name. And I was like, okay, what time? What's the, she gave me the address and everything. Pretty much like, you got the job. And I was like, okay. She's like, let me call you back and let you know what time to be there. She doesn't call. I'm emailing her. She just ghosted me. I still have not heard from her, except I got an Indeed flag thing on my email that was like, this company that I already applied for is really interested in hiring you. And I'm like, fuck off. Like, and what it ended up being, I had several interviews and I actually had a couple offers on the table, which was like all in 1 week when I had been trying for months.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I going with this? It came down to the job that I really wanted out of all of these jobs that I applied for. I was like, that's the one that I want. But I kept applying because I wasn't hearing back that quickly. And I kept applying for these other jobs. Well, ended up because I knew somebody, I posted on Facebook, like, hey friends, I need a job. And one of my friends' brother hooked it up. Mm-hmm. So it really did come down to, because I think these really good remote jobs are pretty competitive right now. And so it came down to having a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you could be Carly's connection is where I'm getting, babe.
Yeah, no, I messaged Carly a few days ago and was like, sorry, I sucked super hard. I have not responded to your message yet. So sorry, Carly, I haven't responded yet. I'm the worst.
You know, you haven't even met me in person, and the fact that you're willing to like give me some tips or let me pick your brain, I really appreciate it, because working in healthcare for 12 years, like, I don't have a ton of connections in marketing. And so like, I'm curious, you know, just to hear like how you even got your foot in the door and like what your experience has been like for me, you know?
No, I definitely want to help. I mean, again, like after seeing everything that Tanya went through to get this job, we got to be helping each other out, because it feels like that's the only way you can really get your foot in the door these days, is if you know somebody or have a connection.
We were also talking about how at our age, so like with the LinkedIn and stuff, that's an age thing. And also I had somebody tell me to take off where I put on my resume 20 plus years of customer service experience because it made me look old.
Yeah.
I know, we're used to thinking of like the old people, and I'm like, dude, like I was reading an article the other day about like, I can't remember if they called it like geriatric millennials or like, oh, no. I'm like, are we the people that are asking the young people for help with like technology now? Is that what it's come to at 39?
Yeah. Oh my God. I gotta be honest, you guys, I've been struggling recently with this whole like getting older thing, because I mean, no brags, but I was really fun. I was like life of the party in my 20s and 30s. And as we're getting older, I'm just like, how does that translate into your 40s? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cause you can't be going out and like shooting Jaeger, you know, like, and having hangovers every day, like we did when we were younger or whatever, or even just like being the light. I don't know. I struggle with that.
Well, yeah. Last like night she's like, oh, it's 8:30. She was all shocked that it was up till 8:30.
No, I was like, it's 8:30. Oh my God. It's so late. Is what I said.
On a Saturday. I mean, but you, Carly, you have a much older wife. So you guys must go to bed like at 6.
Oh. Well, you know, she is
Lori's gonna kill me.
She's 8 years older than me, but honestly, like, I feel like sometimes I act more like the old lady, and I used to be like such a night owl, and like what Brooke was saying, I thought I was the life of the party in my 20s. Like, my nickname was Gnarly Carly, and I did bartending. And I was a flight attendant, and I did all this fun stuff. But looking back, like, I thought I was the life of the party, but I think I was really just a hot mess. But
oh, girl, same. You know what my nickname was? My last name is Gracie. My nickname was Disgracie.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
we. It sounds like we could have been like besties.
Yes, 1,000,000,000%. Yeah, I'm like, I remember everything now. Like, it's like, what is happening? But I mean, it's still a struggle. It's like, I still want to make sure that I'm not like becoming a fuddy-duddy. I mean, just by saying fuddy-duddy, I am one. Fuck.
Yeah, right.
That's so true. You can't say that.
Well, I've got a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, so I'm just like constantly, and we had our kids, well, I've got 2 bonus sons that are 23 and 21, and then we've got a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old in that we had, you know, as older parents, and so I'm just like perma exhausted. So
yeah. It's so funny to hear that minivan. You were in your minivan. It was so funny to hear that Gnarly Carly thing, because I just met you at the tail end. Like, when I met you, you like didn't drink at all. At least not around me. I never saw you drinking.
Well, I was I mean, we can get into this if we want. I was dating your cousin, and he was such a hard drinker that I mean, I still drank occasionally, like if we were camping or I knew we had like a safe ride, but basically I had to be the 24/7 designated driver, and I was at least responsible enough to, like, by my mid to late 20s, you know, I wanted to make sure we had a safe ride and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I felt like I had to be that, like, that I always had to be that person.
That makes sense.
So you weren't, I had a lot
I
of
was sober.
That, yeah, I was you we I had a lot of sober friends, and so I could kind of like take it or leave. Like, I was never like an everyday drinker, drink by myself. It was more just like social binge drinking.
Gnarly Carly.
No, that was Disgracie exactly. too. Disgracie wasn't like having, you know, tequila to go, but like at home alone. But damn if she wasn't like another round, you know, every hour on the hour when she was out. So I get that. I totally get that.
But Tanya met me a little bit like when I fit, because she, when we met, I was finishing up, or I was in school. And then she's known me a lot, like in school when I've been super busy. But when I first moved back to Seaside and I had finished school and I was working two jobs and like finally had some money and stuff, there was a couple times when I called her from the bar and was like already drunk and like wanting to get some like after bar snacks and watch movies. And I was like, hey, want to hang out?
Yeah,
being messy a few times.
Oh yeah. I'm sure she loved it too.
I totally forgot about that until you said that.
That's cute.
That's adorable. Yeah, we went to stop. We went to Stop and Go, and got snacks.
Got like burritos at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh, that was fun. That was a good memory.
That's so cute. I love that. And now we're all getting older and now we're like, now we're talking about how we can get jobs instead of like what, you know, where we're going to go party tonight. So
yeah.
I'm just, you know, emotionally dealing with that.
Tell me more about this LinkedIn. You connect like the Facebooks.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So wife, mother of four, but two. So that sounds exhausting.
It sounds exhausting, but is it kind of awesome to see through the eyes of a child though? Like going to the zoo with a kid is way more fun with a kid, right?
Yeah, like holidays and even like simple going out of town type vacations. I mean, it is. It does make everything really fun again. And you know, just their excitement about little things. And then it also is kind of bittersweet, like you're like, damn, like I remember when something so simple made me so happy. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of try to get back to that because you realize like how just jaded and bitter about certain things, or at least I'm talking for myself, but I'm sure people can relate, you know. Mm-hmm. That, so I mean, that's cool. And I try to just remind myself like, oh yeah, this is really cool. Like it's really cool just to go to the river and like skip rocks I know that sounds silly, but you, or even just like I take for granted that we live at the beach, you know, like just because I always had, or not always, but most of my life I have, and it's like, wow, this is actually really beautiful and fun, and what's my problem?
I also feel like it helps me appreciate my mom too. So when I was a kid, my mom had something, she called it Camp Connie. So my mom is named Connie. So like in the summer, she would like take us on adventures, but she would blindfold us and put us in the car. So it like genuinely looked like she was kidnapping children. And then she would take us to like the cemetery. And I would be like, what the fuck, mom? But like, to your point, like, but it was like, well, this is the adventure today. She's like, it doesn't take much. You just got to like take them somewhere and like tell them scary stories and you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally appreciate my mom so much more. Seeing how hard, I mean, the cliche of like, it's the hardest job in the world. Like I totally 100%. Cause I've worked like in healthcare. I've worked in the NICU with like babies that weigh like less than 500 grams and like, codes and trauma. And like on my hardest parenting days, I would say like, it'd be less stressful to be at work right now, but I mean, I love it, but it's really hard. So I'm looking back at my, you know, my mom and growing up, I'm like, man, I give her, you know, like when you're a kid and you're kind of like, well, it was your choice to have me, you know, like,
yes.
And now it's like, you know what? That doesn't mean that it wasn't hard for them and they weren't exhausted and we weren't little brats sometimes.
Oh, I get it now. Such a little shit.
Oh, I was like, you just had me to clean the house.
Oh, right.
She just had me to do chores.
Your slave.
Yeah. But like, you're the modern day superwoman, Carly. Like you have a family. Oh. you are getting this, like starting this new career. Like I like honestly don't know how moms do it because I'm exhausted just taking care of myself. And like, I mean, it's like you have to put yourself second so often. Do you ever get to like go out and just like YOLO and do something fun like that?
We did go for like 48 hours a couple of years ago to Hollywood, and we went and stayed in like my wife had always wanted to go to Harry Potter World, and we'd been there with the boys when they were building it at Universal, and so we went and we found our kids stayed a couple nights with family, and we took like a 5 a.m. flight, and but I mean we made the most of it. Like we went to this concert that had comedians and musicians and all these people that was for the LA the LGBTQ center, like it was like a big anniversary concert, and it was on my birthday, and we just bought tickets last minute. We did that. We went to Harry Potter World. We went to a movie. We went out to dinner and like did all these things. And then like, we were literally there less than 48 hours and then came home. So it was exhausting, but sorry, I'm like totally going on this.
No, I gotta know, did you get to smash?
Too tired?
I don't remember. Like, honestly, we might have been
wasn't too the highlight tired. Of the
it wasn't the
no. Like the no, honestly, I think the highlight was spending all day at Universal and then coming back to our room and taking like a late in the day nap and then going and getting in the hot tub and then going out to dinner and then going and seeing the new Downton Abbey movie in one of those theaters with like leather reclining chairs.
Shit, you guys did make the most of that.
I gotta be honest, like this is exhausting. Like I'm just hearing
but
about
it's
it.
Like it's like if you can just get that time away. In fact, I would challenge our listeners, especially with the holidays coming up and stuff, instead of getting your loved ones a sweater or something that they don't really want, offer to watch their kids and let them have alone time, or offer experiences that can happen throughout the year, right? Like that's what we really need, is we need mental health breaks and time with our partners or families.
If you guys want to come down to San Diego, I can watch the kids.
We would totally do that, like 1,000,000%.
Tanya and Brooke, camp Tanya and Brooke would be like the funnest.
Oh my God. They would be like, have you know, dye on them from tie dyeing and tummy aches from all the chocolate, but it would be great.
It'd be good too.
Oh my gosh, you guys, you don't even know what you're offering. Like they're a lot, but
that's what every parent tells
us. That's what I hear. I mean, when I went to Sacramento a couple weeks ago, it was because my friends paid for me to go up there to watch their kids, but I ended up staying, like, it wasn't just for that, but they were like, you're like our hero. And I watched them for one day, and then the other 4 days was like a vacation. I was like, I'm a hero. Like, okay.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, but we better wrap this up. Carly, you've been great. God done a good job, dear.
I really can't wait to meet you in person someday, Carly. I hope that happens soon.
Well, I'm working on telling Lori that I need to come visit you guys for like a day or two. Like, I mean, even just like a super quick trip, because you know, for networking, like
it would
be an investment in my future like, career. So
Brooke boot camp.
Oh yeah.
I'm working that angle.
Beach.
Yeah.
No, you gotta like help her with her LinkedIn and
stuff.
We're
gonna at the beach.
At the beach.
Yeah, I gotta run away from home. So
yeah, I love it.
You're welcome anytime. We have an air mattress in the living room.
Yeah. Nice.
Casa de Brania. but anyway, you've been great. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll chat probably tomorrow or the next day.
Sounds good. All right, thanks for having me.
All right, bye listeners.
Bye listeners. Bye Carly.
Bye guys.